Good morning. Good to see people here today. And it was like 3 weeks ago I was supposed to present this, and Lord had different ideas. My wife and I got COVID, and to be safe, we decided not to. It was wise not to come in. But anyways, it's good to be here. I feel good. The sanctuary, I just let you know, it took 12 coats, 12 gallons of paint. Two coats. It took 3.5 days. No accidents, praise God. The funny thing is, though, I have an Apple Watch, and I was laying down to paint something to help out, and my watch goes off and say, "Are you okay?" I wish I could have responded back and say, "I'm just painting," you know what I mean? But that wasn't one of the choices. Anyways, it happened 3 times. I'm like, okay. But anyways, that's a good thing, I think, if I really had to fall over and somewhere. But anyways, technology, isn't that amazing? And today, what are we here for today? I better get my notes out. It's when Pastor Lee asked me to speak, I was like, okay. Now, when I started Eastern York High School, I don't know if where you guys were, but we had 50-minute blocks. Was that okay? 50-minute blocks, and then the last couple of years we had hour and a half blocks. So I'm saying, what schedule am I on? Am I on the 50 minutes or the 1.5 hour? I think I know the answer to that. 50 minutes. So it won't take 50 minutes, I don't think. Praise God. But I just want to talk to you today. And really, great to see the kids here. And you know, 3 weeks ago when I was going to present, I was going to honor those who are in the teaching profession. You know what I mean? I mean, it is tough. And I keep praying for those. I mean, there's a lot of people here that are in, whether they're a teacher or you know, work in a cafeteria, an aide, secretary. It's tough. So keep them in prayer. I'm away from the high school. I retired 4 years ago from the high school. Probably had a good time when I think about it. But I still teach at college, and so I enjoy doing this. So what are we going to learn today? This is called The Beauty of God's Creation. And when I was downloading my presentation, they're like, "You got 38 slides. How are you going to do that?" Well, I don't know. We'll see. But be with me. I might go fast through some of these. I do see the time. And, series. Oh, okay. I may should take my watch off, my Apple Watch. But it thinks I'm asking for time here. But okay. I want to encourage you today. I really do. I want to encourage you. We're in a world right now where science, when I mention science, we get mixed emotions, don't we? And I'm not a biologist. I don't claim to be a biologist of the life sciences. But as you know, through the last couple of years, it's been a battle. So I want to encourage you. Just talk about what science really is. And some of the cool stuff that's being discovered with the Webb telescope. And that's really what I want to get to, the meat, is show you some beautiful pictures of God's creation that we've never, never saw before. Okay? So this is new stuff. I want to share my journey, a little bit, my journey. I had a very interesting journey to be here. But I'll share a little bit of that. So I want to start out today with one of my favorite things. Is it okay to move around? I know there's, Mike's like, he's going to keep busy today. When I teach, I don't stand still. I'm walking around. That's the way I am. And so, Mike, are you going to be okay? Oh, thank you, Mike. But as I thought about this, and you'll see the ending here a little bit, but this is a rock. This is a rock. And at Penn State, I get to teach about rocks. I'm a geologist, okay? So I study rocks and the earth and all that good stuff. But this is a special rock. Let's see if I know how to, whoops, oh, go too fast there. And there's there so you can see it. If you want to look at it later, some of the kids here later, I'll let you have, no, have it. Look at it. This is my favorite one, so you can't have it, okay? You can hold it. But this is my favorite rock. So I got a question for you. This is participation too. I'm a teacher. You know that, right? So you're just not going to sit there. Right, Alston? You're not going to sit there. So what kind of rock is this? So everyone's going to participate. Are you ready? Whoops. Okay. There are three types of rocks. There are sedimentary, there are igneous, and metamorphic. So one, put your finger up for one if you think it is a sedimentary. Two, igneous. Three, metamorphic. Go ahead. Put your hands up quick. We'll see who's the geologist here. Rocks help. Come on. You got to take a guess. Come on. Everyone participates. Okay. Peace sign. Yeah, she's like, peace sign. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Wow. Okay. This is, you ready for this? This is an igneous rock. I saw a lot of twos. Good job. Now, I'm not going to give you a lesson on igneous rocks, but let me tell you, it's a special rock. One of my specials because, see, this came from Sicily. As you know, Mount Etna, one of the most active volcanoes on this earth. Now, I did not go to Sicily to get this rock, okay? This rock was shipped to me through mail, okay, from a foreign exchange student who I had in high school who, you know, I always talk about rocks, right, Cassandra? I mean, I think I did. But 15 years ago, because that's how old that rock is. See that rock? When it comes out of the volcano, there's a picture of it, it begins its life. And today I want to show you life. You know, we have what? We're born, we live, and we die. Well, rocks do the same thing. The pictures I'm going to show you about space, same thing. Stars are born. You guys know that? Stars are born. They mature, and they die. It's life cycle. God has created this life cycle. And I want to keep coming back to this because God is in control, right? He has created this life cycle. I want you to learn some Hawaiian today. This rock has holes. Did you see the holes in the rock? Did you see that? Those are called vesicles. This rock is jagged. This is not a rock you want to step on. It will hurt. Okay? So the word for there, I want to teach you something so you guys can know something when you go to school and impress your teacher. Is it this word? It's on the bottom there. You see that word, A-A? I love this word. A-A, what kind of word is that? Ah-ah. Can you say it? Ah-ah. Come on, let's do it. Ah-ah. So I think it got its name. Someone stepped on it and said, ah! Ah! Maybe, I don't know. I made that up. But the other kind of lava that comes out is smooth lava. You've seen it? Seen pictures of it? Just smooth, like Hawaii. Just smooth. That's called pōhoihoi. Are you ready? Pōhoihoi. Yeah, pōhoihoi. Yeah. Yes.
From school, and there was like this rock that was made out of molten lava.
Yeah,
like really light.
Smooth and light. Oh, that might be pumice.
It's
so light. Yeah, that's called pumice, and that's it floats in water. You know, that's the only rock that floats in water. Yeah, good. All right, they're learning things. Good job. Okay, so this is a very important slide here because I want to talk about what is science. Okay, I need to define what science is because science is getting a bad, I think, as a scientist, it's getting slammed. You can't believe that. It's, you know, scientists are wrong. You know what I mean? And as a scientist, it breaks my heart to hear that. But do you know the Egyptians? They made those pyramids. Can you believe that? You think it took some science to do that? We don't know how they did it. That's the amazing thing. We don't know how they did it. But they did it. We see them, right? And we're thinking 3,000 years before Jesus was born. 3,000 years before. Long time ago. 5,000 years ago. But science is about what? Here's how I can make it simple to you. Science is, we call it the scientific method, is another way to look at it. It's a method of what? Seeking truth. Scientists try to seek truth. They try. They really do. We do. We try to seek what is true. Now, sometimes it gets difficult because, you know, we don't know. Science is not absolute. I'll put it right out there. Science is not absolute. Okay? Those who have been around for a while, we see science change, don't we? It's okay. Science changes. When you discover new information, right, you make different observations, you have to change what you believe. I mean, that's the way it is. That doesn't bother me. Now, some people say, well, I can't believe it because it's going to change next year. Well, who knows? We could. And you know what? We're never going to know the answers, are we? Never. And I have a list, man. When I see God in heaven, I'm going to say, what? Tell me more. You know what I mean? How bad were we on this? But, you know, science is our lives, right? We drive. I drove here today. It took science. Medicine. I mean, we go to doctors, don't we? They give us science. That's science. Guys, we use it every day. I have a laptop. I have an iPad. We use it. That's science. Okay? But I threw some names up there. I'm not going to get through all that. I'm going to skip that, okay? But one of the most interesting things I've found in my life about scientists, my interactions with science people, I've met many people, and I'll tell you a couple stories, is that most of them are believers. Most of them are believers. Now, when I say believers, you know, in their religion, let me say this. A lot of them are religious. And that can cover, you know, Catholics, Protestant, Hindu. And I mean, they're religious. Because, see, science is based on what? The belief that our universe has order to it. Do you know that? Sometimes it looks like chaos out there, doesn't it? But most of the time, we know order. And I say that because I'm not going to do it to this rock. But what happens if prediction? Because scientists make prediction, right? If they're right, they're going to make a prediction. What happens if I drop this rock? Is it going to go up to the ceiling? Now, if it does, I'm leaving. That's what I tell my students. When I do a demo and it doesn't work out, I'm leaving. You guys can stay and watch it go up, but I'm out of here, okay? All right? My last month of teaching, I was like, I'm retiring. Because, see, we had to give 6 months notice. Teachers have to give 6 months notice to get their retirement. Okay, now any teacher can just say, I'll see you tomorrow. You know what I mean? But it affects them. So I had to give them 6 months notice. And so I knew my 6 months, I could do anything I wanted. They're not going to fire me. Right? That's why. No. They're not going to fire me. So I took a bowling ball. And I had lab tables in my room, these nice, beautiful lab tables. And I took a bowling ball, and I was demonstrating things that bounce. Okay, simple idea. Some things bounce, right? A rubber ball bounces. And we talked about the physics of that. But a bowling ball, what does it do? I don't know. So I guess I'll try it. I never tried it before. So I took my bowling ball and set it there and dropped it onto the table. And I couldn't believe what happened next. And those two students who were sitting there, I don't know who they were, but I traumatized them for the rest of their lives. I felt sorry. I apologized tremendously. But the table, I hit called a sweet spot. You know, in baseball, there's a sweet spot in a bat. You hit it, and that ball goes. Well, I found a sweet spot at my lab table. And it literally broke in two. Broke in two. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm done. This is my last day of teaching. Do I hide it from the janitors? I mean, they come clean my room. You know, they clean my room. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I said, I have to run and tell the principal. Oh, I got to tell the principal. And what a blessing. He was so kind. He said, it's okay. You proved the point, right? And so we had to go searching for another lab table. But that's okay. But anyways, sometimes things go bad. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. But anyways. But look at those guys. You guys remember Newton? You guys have heard of Newton? Newton's laws?
Yeah.
Yeah, first, second, and third law, right? Now, here's the cool thing. God created those laws. See, I can't see how you're a scientist and not believe in God. I mean, it makes no sense. Because we have order, right? We have order in the universe. Objects at rest want to
stay at rest.
Stay at rest. Objects in motion want to
stay
in motion. Don't forget the second part. My kids always forget the second part. They think that's it. Unless acted upon by an outside force. Don't forget that. And if it's moving, it moves in a straight line at a constant speed. Very important. So as I show you these things out in space, you're going to see things moving. Well, you're not going to, yeah. Things move, right? I don't worry about the earth. Do you ever worry about the earth stop moving? I don't worry about that. I don't wake up, oh, the earth's going to stop moving today. That'd be bad, by the way. That's a bad day. I mean, Lord, take me. I mean, take me. I don't want to be here. But anyways, the second law, third law. I mean, the third law is great. For every action, there's a, you guys know this? For every action, there's a equal an opposite reaction, yeah. And so, I get to teach this every day at school. I teach these laws. God's laws. See, God set these laws into place. You know that? Right? He puts order in our universe. That's how I look at it. Okay? All right. But science doesn't not do what, though? It doesn't tell you who's behind it. Right? And this is where the challenge is. There are people who think it's just natural. It just happens. But when you look at, if I walked out of the room here, I like this thing called intelligent design. You ever hear intelligent design theory? Very interesting. If I go out there and find my Apple Watch sitting on the ground, picked it up, what do I say to myself? It just didn't get there. Right? It was a designer. Someone designed that Apple Watch. Right? A creator, right? Someone created it. And when I look at rocks and I look at the world, and as you can see the universe here very short, it speaks as a creator. I'm like, I shake my head when someone says, oh, I don't believe in God. I'm like, what do you believe in? What else is there? Now, we can argue of what God, you know, the gods, but you know what I'm saying? That gets into, you know, we won't get into that battle, but we hear what? We believe in the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? Now, some people think that's three gods. And I was talking to Sam, who helped. Sam was on the ladder high stuff. Sam, I call him Sam the Painter. But Sam came from Egypt. He's an immigrant from Egypt. By the way, if you need a painter, let me know. I have his card, but he's very good. And he tells me that we're talking about being a Muslim. Egypt is a Muslim country. That's why he left. He was persecuted for Christian faith. And that reminds me, we're so lucky, aren't we, here? I don't know the last time I was persecuted for my faith. But he left 15 years ago. He left his country of Egypt to come here. So that he could be, you know, profess his faith. And, you know, it was tough. And he was telling me, and I was like, whoa, okay. praise God that he's here. And he's, praise God, because he's a believer. He's a fellow believer. But Muslims, they think we're crazy. They think we have three gods. Because Muslims believe in one God. And I thought it was interesting where they said, we have three gods. I'm like, how's that happen? Well, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? So they cannot, so anyways, yeah. I thought that was interesting. So science is what? Knowledge. Okay. Are you ready to go on? Okay. Do you understand what science is?
Yes.
It's a way of knowing. It's a way. Oh, the problem comes in where? Where's the problem come in? Sin. Right? Remember Adam and Eve? God had a perfect world, didn't he? When he created it, it was a perfect world. And then sin came along. And what has sin done to us when we look at something, when we hear something, when we touch something, when we see something? We're not seeing clearly. I don't feel, and I won't get into that, but sin has caused us to be careful what we observe. It has affected us. It really has. And we have to be careful. So, God speaks to us. You ready for this? God speaks to us. Two ways, I believe. Two ways. One is through nature. Right? Now, what's interesting in Romans, it says no man is without excuse. There's no humans without excuse. Okay? When we go into different parts of the world where they're not educated, you know, like we are, they still... Do you hear stories? The missionaries going in and people sense there's a God. They just don't know which God to worship. Do you understand? And that's where we as missionaries, we have a missionary alliance. We get to go and tell them what we think is the truth, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
But it's no one was going to be without excuse, because everyone looks at the heavens at night, don't they? Everyone looks at the heavens. And I don't know about you, but I'm amazed. That's called natural revelation. Whoops. I'm pointing the wrong way. Okay, I'll get it. I'll get it eventually. Maybe not. Okay. Did it just go out of bed? Okay, well, I just lost juice. When you do hit it, right? Scientific method. Okay, could you turn that? I mean, could you forward it? Heather, can you do that for me? Okay. So we read this morning, right? The heavens what? Declare the glory of God. Right? Now around here is a little tough sometimes, but the last couple of nights, hasn't it been clear? Isn't it great to go out? Now, if you've ever been to the middle of the desert, I've been in the middle of New Mexico. There's no light around other than the stars. And let me tell you, if you ever experienced that, it will change your life. You'll see stuff and be like, oh my goodness, I see the Milky Way galaxy. It's hard to see, but we're in it. We're in the Milky Way, and we see it. Next one. Okay. And you know there's special revelation? You know what's cool about being a Christian? We have God speaking to us, don't we? God has spoken to us, not just through nature, but through his word. His word. The word of God is what? Living? You understand it? It's living. It is active. It's inspired. It's profitable. Right? And it's sufficient. This is all we need. God's word. It really is. And nature just what? Oh, wow, look at this. Thank you. New juice. Chemistry, right? Batteries, chemistry. Anyway, okay. Let's see. Ah, yeah. So, John, in the beginning, right? We know this one. In the beginning. Do you know our universe had a beginning? Do you know that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word of God was there in the beginning. And who's that? You know that's Jesus, right? You know he's speaking to Jesus, right? In the beginning. He was in the beginning. God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Very interesting. Somehow, Jesus, I don't know the answer to this, but Jesus has something with creation. There's something connected there. There really is. Because in him all things were made. Him. Jesus. We're talking about Jesus now. Okay? Without him, nothing was made that was made. Sounds interesting. Colossians, I love this. For in him, again, Jesus, right? In him, Jesus, God. Things in heaven and earth, visible, things we see, right? And invisible. Guys, can you see gravity? No, you can't see gravity. Okay. Here's a trick question. Can you see light? I get in discussion on that, but I'll stop. I can't get into that. Okay. You can't see light going across the room, can you? Now, if I put fog in here, smoke, it gets different. But anyway, you see the reflection of light. But anyway, you can't see light, really. So, but anyways, all things have been created, what? Through him and for him. So why did God create us? It's for what? His glory. I believe that. We're created for his glory. The heavens were created for his glory. Isn't that cool? Isn't that encouraging? Humans. Lisa talks about the human. Where is Lisa? Oh, there. But the human life, right? You talk, right? Isn't we're special? Humans are a special creation. He created us to be different. We're not all the same. Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness we're different. But and he holds. And this is cool. He holds it together. Now, if I was a chemistry person, guess what I would say? Hold things together. Which it does, okay. We talk about the electromagnetic forces, right? Between positives and negatives, and they do what? Positives and negatives attract. Right? Opposites attract. Now, see, science, how do I say this? I have to be careful what I say. Gravity does not take God out of the picture. See, there are people who think, oh, if we know everything about science, then why do we need God? I don't know if you know what I'm saying there. In other words, once we understand gravity, then we don't need God. Well, that's not true. You know what I mean? Our God is involved in everything. He knows everything. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the past. He knows the future. Okay? Studying gravity does not take God out of the picture. You know what I mean? Why does the earth go around the sun? Well, you do believe the earth goes around the sun, right? Maybe. I don't know. Do you? But, you know, when Christ was here walking the earth, we thought the earth was the earth was standing still, didn't move. And everything goes around us, right? Wasn't that theory at one time? Okay. Remember that? Okay, I mean, we thought that. It looks like it. Doesn't look like the sun goes around us. And there's actually scripture that shows that, that says that. That the earth does not move. And it gets interesting. So we got to be careful. Whenever we study science and when we study scripture. Because sometimes they seem to conflict, don't they? They should. If we knew science, if we knew scripture, what in the real interpretation, then they should blend. Does that make sense? No conflict. So when there's conflict, it's either what? Science is wrong, or scripture, or interpretation. And I gotta be careful here. I don't wanna get into all this stuff, but it's tricky. And you gotta understand where it could go wrong. All right. So, really quickly. Oh my, okay. I was born in New York. I moved to Wrightsville, fifth grade. I grew up in 128 Orange Street, Wrightsville, Pennsylvania, 17368, I think is the zip code. Still have it in my mind. Wow. Is that right, Hellers? Okay. Who's that gorgeous guy there? Who's that gorgeous guy?
I don't know.
Oh my, why are you laughing? Now, I have to tell you, Wendy and I, okay, my wife, you know, my wife didn't know at the time. When I was in 12th, I guess I can share this, right? When I was in 12th grade, she was in 9th grade. Ooh, I don't know, okay. Her sister, good to see you, Judy. Her sister's right beside her. She was in 10th grade when I was in a senior. That's my senior picture. I had hair. I love your hair. I had hair. That was the time I was a hippie. Well, I guess we call them hippies, but anyways. I had a haircut. My mom made me get a haircut. My laser suits. You remember those? Oh, my. But, so, here's the thing. I'll do it in three-minute testimony, okay? What? What's that? Oh, thank you, Steve. Yeah, thank you. Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So anyways, oops. Okay. But anyways, here's my story. 3 minutes. You ready? 3 minutes. Go quick. I became a Christian age 15, later. Okay? That's important to understand. Because when I became a Christian, I started looking at the world differently. So when I go to school, my teacher, Mr. Pannebaker, did you have Mr. Pannebaker? He was the earth science teacher. Who, you had Mr. Pannebaker? What a blessed man. And Mr. Pannebaker, Rod, you remember? Okay, all right. Rod shaking his head.
You old people
have. But Mr. Pannebaker was talking about, and I don't want to get into debate here, but he was talking about the earth being old, right? 4.6 billion years old. I'm like, okay. And then I started going to church. Thank goodness. I went to a good Bible-believing church. Church of the Open Door. The actual one in West York. I had a teacher who would pick me up. Because my parents didn't go to church. We didn't go to church. So they would, and this is why I love teachers. I love teachers. What an influence. And pray about it. Those who are teachers or you have an influence on your kids. What you say and do and live. But they picked me up every Sunday and took me to the Church of the Open Door. And at that time it was Pastor Haynes. I remember him, a little short guy. And he'd get up there and preach the God's Word. And one day he said, the earth is 10,000 years old. I'm like, whoa, okay. First time I heard it. First time I heard, you know, that the earth was only 10,000. I'm like, well, my science teacher, Mr. Pannebaker, is telling me it's 4.6 billion. I'm like, okay. Conflict, right? Well, who's right? And so for me, I love science. I love math. Okay? And Wendy and I, we're in the same, I think we were in most of the classes together. And college came along. I'm 17, and I'm like, what do I do in my life? And the Lord told me, basically, go. Just go. So I ended up at a place called the King's College. It's a Christian school up in New York. And guess what? I wanted to find the answer between the debate, the dilemma. You know what I mean? I want the answer, right? Don't we want answers? And guess what? I found out very quickly. Everyone was different. They all had different beliefs. My biology teacher loved the man. Oh, gentleman. Believed the earth was 10,000 years old. He wasn't afraid to say it. And then some other professors say, no, the earth is 4.0. I'm like, oh. After 4 years, I didn't get the answer I was looking for. I was with the top, you know, people in the world at the time. And they didn't know. And then I went, I said, what do I do with my life? So I ended up going to Penn State. I said, I'm going to Penn. And that was a long story, but I ended up at Penn State. And the same thing. I went to professors at Penn State at the main campus and said, what do you believe? And most of them said, I believe in a God, in a faith. What I found is very few were atheists. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, they have a faith. Some kind of faith. Religious faith, okay? But I found that there's debate. There's debate. And by the way, what does it really matter? That's how I think about it sometimes. If the earth is young, it's young. If it's old, like God is infinite, isn't he? Isn't God infinite? He's not controlled by time. Who is? We are. We have a day, right? You know what it's based on? The rotation of the earth. We have a year. Do you know what it's based on? Going around the sun. And you know that's changing. I don't want to get into that, but that's changing. The earth is slowing down. So our day, which is 24 hours, is not always the same. But anyway, that's another lecture. The earth is slowing down. Our days are getting longer. Okay, the year, we used to have a year where it was 480 days in a year. Did you guys know that? 480 days in a year, yes. See, they don't tell you that, do they? That's because if the earth is spinning faster, think about this. You ready for this? If the earth is spinning faster, then there's more days in a year, which is one time around the sun. Does that make sense? And we have evidence for that, guy. We have evidence. And I'll stop. Fossils. We have fossil evidence that the day back in time was longer. And the year was longer. But you don't hear that too often because it gets interesting. You have quick, I saw your hand. Yeah, I'll be glad. The day was shorter. That's correct. Because it was spinning, the earth was spinning faster. So you have more days in a year then. Am I making sense there? Okay, good question. So anyways, best thing in my life was in 1982. I married my wife, Cindy. Wow. We celebrated our 40th anniversary just recently. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Man. And then I went out. Man, those who know her. Oh, my. I graduated from Penn State that year. Because when I proposed to her, I said, okay, one condition. You gotta move. You gotta leave York, Pennsylvania. Now, thank goodness Cindy's father was in the service, so they would move around all the time, Okinawa. So moving was no big deal. But pulling her away from her mom and dad, that's tough sometimes. But in our marriage, you know, and I got a job. A real job. So those things, 1982 is my year. But anyways, I move on. Today, I know God is in control. I'll stop there because I want to show you some pictures. You came for the pictures, right? You came to see the space, and I want to do that. These are my three grandchildren. In 4 days, Cindy and I are going to Santa Fe, New Mexico. So you won't see us for a while. Ashley is expecting her fourth one. So we're excited. This is our lives now. Lives changed. But our grandchildren is what we go for. Selah. They all begin with S. And let's see if I get this right. Selah. Salem, the boy, and Siana. I don't know what the fourth one's going to be called, but I'm sure it's an S. They all mean something in the Greek. They all mean something. Frank and Ashley, yeah. So, and this is why we also go to Penn State. This is my other daughter, Kristen. She has we have three grand dogs. Can you see the black one in the middle there? There's one in the middle there. I'm holding, it's a black one. He's tiny. But anyways, Man, we have, what a life. Anyway, we have a blessed life. We get 3 grandchildren, 3 granddogs. Life is good. So, okay. This is why you came. So let me do this in 10 minutes. You ready? Seven months ago, December 2021, we put up a telescope. Okay? The most powerful telescope in the world. We're the United States. You guys know that. We're looked upon as the best technology. We are number one. You guys right? Yeah, we're number one. This telescope, you ready for this? What did it cost? I need your hands. One if you think it was $10 million. 2 if you put $10 billion. Or 3, $10 trillion. Go ahead. How much did it cost? I want to see your hands. How much did it cost? Okay. All right. You guys are pretty interesting. Okay. No one put, oh, you put, okay. 10 million. Well, that doesn't go very far. Yeah, that doesn't go very far. That's okay. 10 million was probably, yeah, but anyways, that's okay. Numbers are big when they get to millions and billions, right? I mean, it's like, well, it's just 3 zeros, right? That's all it is, right? Wow. Okay. 10 billion. It was originally going to cost, you ready for this? $1 billion. That was the budget. Now, if you know anything about government, I'm not going to say anymore. It was delayed and delayed. Because, see, the scientists wanted to do it right. We're not going to put something up there that doesn't work, right? Do you understand? We're spending time and money on it. Now, here's the interesting thing. I don't know if you know this, but this satellite is different than the Hubble. You heard of the Hubble satellite, which we've been getting beautiful pictures for the last 25 years. It is close to the Earth. The Hubble is close to the Earth. This one is a lot further out. Okay, and I say that because we want to get away from the Earth as much as possible because the Earth messes us up with light and stuff like that. It's only going to last 20 years. I don't know. 1 million miles from the Earth. Little trivia. It can detect the heartbeat of a bumblebee on the moon. That's how sensitive this thing is. It's sensitive. It's gold plated. That's why it costs so much. It's gold. Gold plated. And you see how big it is. It's pretty big. It's the biggest, largest, powerful. Now, I'm not going to get into why we're doing this. Is that some of you thinking? Why are we spending this money for a telescope? What?
Where is it?
It's up. It's orbiting the Earth, but way far away. Yeah, it's up there orbiting the Earth. Okay. One last question. This is a science question, though. The Hubble used visible light. In other words, when you look at a telescope, you can see it. That's visible light. What's this one doing? Go ahead, vote. Is it visible? It's not visible light. Don't put one. Is it ultraviolet or infrared? Two or three. Those who want to participate, don't have to. I mean, you're not getting graded. Okay. Infrared. Now, okay. Infrared? You can't see infrared. You guys know that? My eyes do not detect infrared. That's heat, by the way. Does your skin feel it? When you go out in the sun, you're on a sunny day, you feel the heat, the warmth? That's infrared. Okay? You're in McDonald's and they're putting the food, the burgers or whatever, and keep them warm. That's infrared. It's heat. This is called electromagnetic spectrum, but I won't quiz you, Cassandra, on this, but we did it. But anyways, infrared is towards the Okay. This is based on wavelength. You know, light has waves, right? Light is a wave. We have short waves, right? Short waves. And we have long waves. You with me? These are long waves. Now, why? Why do we put a telescope up there that you can't see anything? Visibly. Visibly. You understand? You can't get pictures back and say, oh, look at those pictures. Well, you can't see anything. All you get back is all this data. Data. Another scientist who loved data. Yeah. They go and look for things. And so what I'm going to show you, ready, is the data that has been, well, I hate to say this. These pictures are not what we see visibly. You with me? This is data that's infrared, and scientists spend lots of time taking that data and putting into something that you and I see. This is false color. You understand? They put color in it because infrared does not have a color. You with me? It doesn't have the Roy G. Biv, right? Red to, you know. So I hope that doesn't discourage anybody. But scientists have control of this data, in other words. They make it so that you understand it. They want people to understand it. Does that make sense? They don't want to put something up there, a bunch of dots, and people are like, what the heck? We're spending that much money for a bunch of dots? Guys, this picture, do you know our universe had a beginning, right? We had a beginning. If you understand about time and space, do you know the universe is expanding? You guys know that. It's true. I'm not making this up. The universe is expanding. When it expands, it becomes longer waves. See if it makes sense. Remember, light has a certain frequency, right? Wavelength. But because it's expanding, it has longer waves. It's being stretched. And there's scripture. It's pretty interesting scripture. It talks about stretching of the universe. Very interesting. Now, I have to be careful because I don't know how much science you put in the Bible. I don't know. Be careful here, and you might disagree. That's okay, but I'm not sure the Bible is a science book. I don't know. I say be careful. Just because you see, because the earth says in the Bible that the earth doesn't move doesn't mean it's not moving. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying there. So be careful. But look at that. We're seeing, you know, this is hard to understand. We're seeing the past. You guys know when we look at the sun, it takes sunlight 8 minutes to get to us. Do you know that we're not seeing the sun at its current position? Do you know that? When we look at stars, you know that's not where they are today. I don't want to mess your brain up, but it takes time for that light to get here, right? Right? And it's pretty fast. Light's pretty fast. 186, 1,000 miles a second. It goes around the earth 8 times in 1 second. That's how fast light is traveling. So guess what we're looking at? We're looking towards the beginning of the universe. And that should get us excited. Gets me excited. I don't know about you. Because that tells me that the Creator, we can see maybe when He created it. Timing, we can argue about that later. But we're seeing, scientists are paying this money to see the beginning of the universe. Because they now believe the universe had a beginning. We knew that all the time, right? Genesis 1:1, what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created it. We knew that. We could have told those scientists that, right? But see, 160 years ago, scientists thought the universe was infinite. Do you know that? Rod, when you went, I don't know what, no, it wasn't 60, I'm sorry. I don't know what they taught you, but the one time they thought the universe was infinite. You know that? No beginning, no end. You with me? Scientists are now saying there's a beginning. Oh my, praise God. I'm for it. I'm not going to fight that. Are you? We knew that. We knew that before they went in. But look at that. But anyways, those light, those things that you see there are galaxies. Galaxies. Now, those, you see those kind of like stars, the things with the spikes? Those are stars. They kind of got in the way with the picture. But we're looking at galaxies. If you put a grain of sand, right? Put a grain of sand, go out at night, put a grain of sand out, stretch your arms. That's the amount of space that's covering. I hope you see what I'm saying. If you looked at one little grain of sand, that's what you would see behind a grain of sand. Our universe is big. It's big. I'll stop. But anyways, those are galaxies. Scientists estimate there are 100 billion galaxies. We live in the Milky Way. You don't know, you understand? We live in the Milky Way galaxy. One galaxy of 100 billion. Could there be more? I think we're going to find more. Okay, so here's why we are doing this. The picture on the left is the new telescope. Okay, the infrared. You with me? The one on the right is just visible light from the Hubble. Now you might say, is it worth that much money? Well, again, then we'll get into that debate. But you see the clarity? Because infrared can go through gas. Infrared can go through dust. See, a piece of dust doesn't affect infrared because it's so big. Right? I mean, give you some physics lesson here. So they came up with infrared because they want to see through stuff. You know what I'm saying? The one on the right, you can't see much there. That's the same picture. So scientists are excited. Look at this galaxy. We can see in the galaxy. This is the Cartwheel Galaxy. Look at that. Tarantula Nebula. A tarantula. Do you see a tarantula? I don't know. I don't see one, but anyway, scientists use your imagination. We know that in the middle there, do you see the blue? You see the little blue stars? You have good eyes? I don't know. You have good eyes? Those are baby stars. We're seeing when the star was born. Okay, you with me? Stars have a birth. They have a life cycle. So in the middle there, you see that clear part in the middle? The little blue dots are baby stars that were born when? Close to the beginning of the universe. You understand? They're not there today. I have a discussion with you afterwards if you don't understand it. But they're not there today. We're seeing the light that has traveled, you know, through the space. Ooh, kids might know this one. Which planet? Well, the answer's there. Jupiter. Now, you've never seen Jupiter like this before because we're looking at it through infrared. You're with me? Different type of light or electromagnetic spectrum. Look at that big spot. You see that big spot in the bottom right there? That's Jupiter's big. That's the size of the Earth. Guys, Jupiter is a big planet. That little, we call it the giant red spot because in visible light looks red. They decided to make it white, so that's okay. Red, white looks good too, right? I'm not going to argue with that, but you see the north and south of Jupiter? Do you see the auroras? You know what aurora is? On the Earth, we get the aurora borealis. The northern lights and the southern. Jupiter has auroras. And we can see them there. You see the blue? They made it blue, but that's okay. Again, you understand that's false color. You understand? That's false color. That doesn't bother me. It just shows up better sometimes. Oh, about it. Yeah. Almost done. You see, you know, Jupiter has a lot of planets. You know, Jupiter has about 70 planets. I mean, moons. I'm sorry. We have one moon. It's called the moon. Aren't we creative? But anyways, Jupiter has 70 moons. And we can look at that. We can see one. No, there's one there, pretty obvious. But anyways, we're learning. We're learning. This is right off. This is last week. Scientists are getting excited about this. I don't know if you are, but they're getting excited. This was a star. This is the death of a star. You guys know stars die. They're born, they're blue, they're bright, and then they die. And how they die depends how big they are. See, our sun's going to die someday. Well, we know that. We're all going to die someday. But we see deaths of stars. That's called, they call it a planetary nebula. Doesn't make sense, but that's the outer layers of the planet expelling. It's dead. It's cooling off. It's a white hole in the middle. Sometimes we call it a white dwarf, and it becomes a black dwarf. But anyways, last one. I'll leave you with this: Carina Galaxy. Look at the bottom. The bottom is the new one. You see that? New and improved. Isn't that always good? New and improved. We're starting to learn more. We're going to hear about it. I'm excited. We're going to read about it. My favorite verse, I'll end with this. I want to leave you with a challenge. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you see something maybe a little different than you never saw before. But guys, my verse, trust in the Lord. No matter what we said today, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right? Lean not into your own understanding. Submit to him and he will make your path straight. That's my life verse. And I want to share two stories, 30 seconds. This is a man I met 20 years ago. Won the Nobel Prize in Physics. Now that's an honor to win the Nobel Prize. I'm never going to win it. That's okay. Nobel Prize in Physics. He's a Christian man. I got to eat lunch with him. And he says this, "I believe in God." This is a quote. "I believe in God. In fact, I believe in a personal God who acts in and interacts with his creation. I believe that the observations about the order of the universe, I believe that the orderliness of the universe is orderly, logically, and beautifully simple. God made it. God loves it. God keeps it." That's one way we can look at the universe. I agree. Do you agree with him? I agree. Amen. I mean, how can you argue that? That's why we're here, right? But there's the other side. You guys know Stephen Hawking? Yeah. Yeah, heard of him? Here's his quotes. "We are each free to believe what we want. And it is my view that the simplest explanation is there is no God. No one created the universe. And no one directs our fate." Now, I love this part. "There is probably no heaven." I think he's hoping there's no heaven. Isn't that interesting? "There's probably no heaven and no afterlife after." We call that atheist. Now, I don't know. He said this 3 years before he passed away. Stephen Hawking has ALS. You know about him. At age 20, he lived for 40 years in a wheelchair. He couldn't speak. He lost his... So you remember Stephen Hawking? And he did that. So anyways, I hope at the end of his life he accepted Christ. I hope. I don't know. We don't know, do we? But today is your decision day, right? You have a decision. If you don't know Christ, and I'll leave you with this, today's the day, okay? Today's the day. Don't wait. Don't wait. Get right with the Lord, okay? And I'll leave you with a song, and I'll conclude. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. God of Wonders, you hear that? Could you please stand? And Pastor Lee will close.